All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. I want to encourage everybody that can pull up their Bible to pull up your Bible, whether on your phone or if you got your paper copy with you. For those that maybe don't have it, we will have the words, the verses that will pop up on the screen behind me, and also for those who are on our live stream, we'll be able to see them as well. Because we firmly believe that you should never take anybody's word for it. Okay, you study the scriptures for yourself. So we like everybody to have it right in front of them as we look into this. And we're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 7. Paul writes, "For I would that all men were even as I myself," talking about being single. "But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, but if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could spend together this morning. So thankful for those that have taken the step of baptism this morning, and we celebrate and rejoice with them as they continue on their walk with you. And Lord, we pray for somebody in here that needs to take a step this morning, and that includes each and every single one of us. Some of us need to take that very first step of salvation, of trusting Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. And I pray that your Spirit would work in their heart. The Holy Spirit was promised that he would convict us of our sin and help us to see that Jesus is the only way of salvation. I pray for that person that is here, that is watching online, and they've never trusted in Jesus, that today would be the day where they'd make that step and have all of heaven rejoicing and celebrating because they have found their Savior. Lord, for some, maybe it is the step of baptism, as we talked about this morning. They've trusted in Jesus, but they've never made that public commitment to live for and follow the Savior. I pray that today would be the day where they decide. Lord, maybe there's some single people in here that are struggling with a relationship identity. And Lord, I pray that throughout this series, they would see and know and understand that there's not a person alive that can complete them. We are complete in Jesus and Him alone. And so I pray that you would give maybe that single person who's been struggling with this topic some clarity and some confidence that they don't need to go out and try to find somebody. They just need you. And then, Lord, as you lead and guide and direct their life, then you will bring along whatever's supposed to happen. And Lord, there's some married people in here that maybe need to recalibrate the way that they look at themselves, the way they look at their spouse, the way they look at Jesus. And I pray that you'd help us to be able to do that as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, I'm going to put up a picture on the screen here. I want to know how many of you remember the Magic Eye. Can we put that up there? How many of you remember Magic Eye? Some of you are old enough to be able to see the Magic Eye. Now, this came out in like the early 90s is when it really kicked off. 1991 is when it first started, and I think 1993 is when the first Magic Eye book came out. And so you would look at kind of what looks to be nothing, but in reality, there is something there. There's something for you to see, and this kind of blew up and got huge in pop culture. Seinfeld did an episode about Magic Eye. You remember Elaine's boss lost a whole, week or something trying to be able to see a spaceship, and she just could not see it. And then an episode of Friends had it as well. And Ross was looking for the Statue of Liberty in this picture, and he just absolutely could not see it. And how many of you are of the kind with me that you can't see it? You can't see it. You've never been able to see it. How many of you can see it? Like, you may not be able to see it on the screen here, but Magic Eye, you get it. You understand. And one of the things I don't understand, right, because I'm trying to figure out how do you look at this and you see something. Like, you'd never know that is a mermaid riding a unicorn right now. I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is. I really don't. I hope it's not a picture of, like, the devil or something. Like, because I really don't know what the 3D. There's supposed to be a 3D picture in there. And I could never see it. And people would say, well, listen, you just, the way you see it is by looking through it. Don't look at it, look through it. And I'm like, I'm not Superman. Like, I don't have x-ray vision. What are you talking about? Look through it. And so I would look at these things for what felt like hours, just staring at it. I just couldn't do it. And then I remember the first time it happened. It was incredible. I'm looking at this thing, this picture, that is just colors, it's shapes, it's patterns, it's whatever else. And then it happened, like this dolphin just jumped out right at my face. It was the most glorious thing that I've ever laid eyes on. Love you, honey. I'm glad you're here today. But then I finally got it. And the problem was that so often when we're not able to see it, it's because we're focusing in on the wrong thing. We're focusing in on the colors. We're focusing in on the pattern, the shapes, the whatever else, instead of seeing what we're supposed to be seeing. And that's the way that life is a lot of times. We focus in on the wrong thing. And so we miss out on what it is that God really has for us. So in 1 Corinthians 7 here, Paul wants us to focus on something very important here. And since we're talking about singles here, okay, singles often focus in on the wrong thing. And that is, they focus in on a relationship status. And even some married people can do that as well. We can focus in on the wrong thing as far as a relationship status is concerned. You know, maybe, hey, I've got to find the one that will make my dreams come true, that we can live happily ever after. And as we talked about last week, listen, that you're not going to find that person. Like, there's not a person alive who will complete you. I love my wife. She does not complete me. And one of the great things in Life Group, last week, as we were discussing last week's message, Pastor Plinus in our life group said something that was so powerful that I wish I had said it last week. And he talked about the fact, and this is why I encourage you to go to Life Group, because you hear things from a different perspective and get a different eye and a different way to apply it to your life. And Pastor Plinus mentioned how the fact that his wife does not complete him, but she complements him. And those are two very different things, and I appreciate Pastor Plinus sharing that wisdom and insight, and that is the way that I feel about my wife. She does not complete me, but she does complement me. No one person can complete you. That is, only Jesus can do that. Paul said, you are complete in Jesus in Colossians. So instead of focusing in on that, okay, let's focus in on something else. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, we'll look at verses 7 through 9 again very quickly as we set the stage, because we already talked about this last week. Paul says this. He said, for I would. Now, one of the things I want to point out here is in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is answering a letter that some believers had sent to him. So this church had sent him a letter asking some questions about some scenarios and whatever else. Paul is responding to that letter. We do not have that letter. Okay, so I want you to be careful as you're reading through 1 Corinthians 7 not to make complete doctrinal and theological positions on verses when you have missing information. So Paul a lot of times will differentiate between this is what I think, this is what I suggest, this is what God commands. And we see that throughout this chapter. So he says, for I would that all men were even as I myself. Talking about being single here. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. In other words, what Paul is saying, listen, God gives some people the gift of marriage, and that is the life that they're supposed to live. He gives other people the gift of singleness, and that is the life that they are supposed to live. And whatever it is that God has in store for you, that is what he wants you to do and how he wants you to live. He says, I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I, being single. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. So as we mentioned last week, society's taught us that singles are somehow less than. And that's often true in the church, too. Like, we treat singles like they're less than maybe married people are in value as far as how they can serve and what they can do and leadership and all these things. I feel for a friend of mine online. He's a young man. He wants to be in the ministry, wants to be a pastor. He's not married. And so churches won't give him an opportunity to serve. And I think how sad that is. And man, that's caused him a lot of grief and a lot of heartache. And we need to be careful about that. No one is better because they're married. Nobody's worse because they're single. Nobody's better. Well, maybe in this circumstance that we're going to talk about today, they might be better. But the value is the same. Our value doesn't come from a relationship status. And if your value and your self-worth comes from a relationship status, you're going to struggle for your entire life. Because even if you do attain the relationship status that you're looking for, as we mentioned, that person's not going to complete you. They're gonna fail you. They're gonna let you down. You're gonna struggle with that. And so we need to resolve where our identity comes from, where my fulfillment comes from. My fulfillment comes from Jesus and from Him alone. And so Paul here, what he really is trying to say is, you concentrate on Jesus. Don't concentrate on, if you're single, don't concentrate on getting married and finding the one. And if you're married, okay, don't concentrate on this person's spouse and that person and trying to get out of your marriage or whatever else. Now, I always give the warning, okay, Paul's not calling anyone to a life of abuse. So when he talks about, hey, if you're married, stay married, he's not saying stay in an abusive situation. We covered that last week, so we'll continue on today. We don't need romantic relationships to make us feel complete. Skip down to verse number 25. We covered, if you missed last week's message, you can go online, and we talk all about the fact that we have a complete Savior. We're complete in Him. Now, verse number 25 says this, now concerning virgins, speaking about unmarried people here, we won't get into the topic of virginity and all that kind of stuff. He's talking about singles. He says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. So pay attention to the words. Okay, this is not a command from God. This is what I think. This is my advice. Now, he is the Apostle Paul, so I think his advice, it ought to have some weight behind it, but it's not a command from God. He says, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. So he says, listen, not a command from God. This is my thoughts here on singleness. And Paul had some good experience here. Okay, he had experience being married. He had experience being single. You say, where in the Bible does it talk about him being married? It doesn't. So in order to attain the religious position he had, though, he would have had to be married. So he claimed to have failed in none of the duties which Jewish law and tradition laid down. So, thinking about the Jewish faith, Orthodox Jews have the belief that was passed down to them, they had an obligation of marriage. And the Mishnah, the Talmud, and others talk about this. In fact, they say, if a man did not marry and have children, he was said to have slain his posterity and to have lessened the image of God in the world. Okay, that's what his Jewish faith taught. And he said, I have not failed in one law or one tradition. And he must have been a member of the Sanhedrin, for he says that he gave his vote against the Christians in Acts 26:10. And it was required that members of the Sanhedrin be married, as it was held that married men were more merciful. So when we think about his religious customs and tradition, Paul had to be married. He's not anymore. So then there's the whole debate about, well, what happened to Mrs. Paul? Okay? There's one of two things that could have happened. Okay? Either she could have died. He doesn't reference that. I think that would be a significant event in somebody's life. He doesn't reference that at all. Or there's another possibility, and this is the direction that I lean. Remember, it's not in the Bible, so this is my opinion. Is that when he came to faith in Christ, turned his back on his faith, maybe his wife possibly left him. And so he does talk about the fact, what do you do if your spouse wants to leave you? or if she doesn't, or he doesn't want to leave you, and he does kind of focus in on that. So there's some weight behind Paul's words when he says, this is my advice. So not necessarily a command from God. But look at verse 26 as he continues on here. He says, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Are you bound unto a wife? Verse 27, seek not to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. So, as we continue on here, I'm kind of curious. I know most of you in here, but for those that I don't, how many of you are married? Raise your hand. Okay, if you're married in here, raise your hand. If you're watching online, you're married, put it in the comments. I want to know who's married in here, okay? All right, you put your hands down. How many of you are, you're single in here for whatever reason? You are single. In other words, you are not married. I better see all my daughter's hands up right now. Not married. All right, you can put your hands down. If you're watching online and you are single, I don't care what the reason is, tell me about it. I want to know. So, based upon the current crisis they were facing, okay, Paul had some things to think about. We don't exactly know what the crisis was. We could take some time and go back and line up Paul's writing with history and all those sorts of things. I didn't have time to do that. So, if you want to do that and tell me what the crisis was, great. But he says, hey, when I think about the current crisis and the way things are, you just concentrate on wherever you're at in life. If you're married, great, concentrate on that, stay married. If you're single, great, concentrate on that, you just stay single. And I think about what somebody once said, and I thought it was quite interesting. So they said this, and I don't know who it was, or I would give them the credit. I did not come up with this. But they said, when high seas are raging, it is no time for changing ships. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And he makes that statement there in verse 20 about the present distress. So whatever the situation was, you could talk about persecution of Christians and whatever else. Whatever the present distress was, he says, now's not the time to be changing things up. Okay, you just concentrate on who you are. And we last week talked about the fact that if you're married, then you be faithful to the path that God has called you on. If you're single, you just concentrate on being single. And like that magic eye, sometimes we're focusing in on the wrong thing. And so we're missing out on what God has for us. And I think singles have more of an issue with this than married people do, although married people do struggle with it sometimes, and that's why you have people look outside of their marriage for somebody to complete them. But I see it a lot in singles who are looking for this guy, and he's going to be the one that's going to complete me and make me happy. No, he isn't. Last week, we talked about it. Guys are idiots. They're disgusting. I mean, we could go on and on about that. My wife has tons of stories she could tell you. Yeah, I don't. You notice she doesn't have a microphone right now because I'm not going to let her do that. Okay? Some of you guys, you're out here, you're looking for this girl or that girl, and she's the one that's going to make me happy. She's the one that's going to. No, she's not. Can I break it to some of you guys in here? Girls are also disgusting. Really? You going to fight me on this one? Okay, so, yeah, exactly. This time with even more violence, right? But nobody's going to complete you except Jesus. Nobody's going to make you happy. And Paul is saying, listen, continue on the course, which is something more important to concentrate on than a relationship status. There's bigger priorities in life than just that. And I love what he says here, okay? So he does go on to say, remember, he's talking about his advice. He goes on to say in verse 28, listen, if you get married, okay, it's not a sin. Getting married is not a sin, okay? So his advice for singles was, hey, just stay single. you concentrate on what Jesus has you to concentrate on, and today we're talking about serving Jesus. So that ought to be the focus of all of our lives. Singles, that ought to be the focus of your life, not finding somebody, serving Jesus. But he says, hey, if you get married, you're not sinning here, but he does want to warn them because in verse 28, he says, nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh. And then he says, but I spare you. Like, I'm trying to spare you some heartache. You're going to have trouble in marriage. And we talked about that a little bit last week, some of the stupid stuff that we fight about in marriage and the problems and everything else. But he says, listen, it's not all cupcakes and unicorns. Maybe that's what was on the picture, cupcakes and unicorns. It's not all great times. It's not this Disney kind of dream world that we've been watching and seeing since we were small kids. Any relationship takes a lot of hard work. And he goes on in verse 29, says, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. And this is where we really get down to why Paul says, hey, you need to concentrate on serving Jesus. Because the time is short. All of us have a limited amount of time. From the youngest person in here to the oldest person in here, we have a limited amount of time, and we have no idea how much time that is. The oldest person in here could outlive us all, Betty White style, just outliving every single one of us. Queen of England, you're never going to die. We don't know. And the basis for what Paul is saying here is time is short. And you and I need to make the most of our time. Paul wrote, hey, we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. That all of us ought to be conscious about the time that we have in life. And he says, it remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. And he wants to put this all into perspective. Because there's too many of us kind of just pushing and kicking life down the road a little bit. And we think, man, if I just get married, then that's going to solve everything. And then we get married, and man, if I just have kids, and that's going to solve everything. And then maybe when my kids are a little bit older, I'll be able to travel, and I'll be able to do this, and we'll maybe be more financially stable. And we just kind of, we keep wishing away life. And we keep just kind of kicking that can a little down the road, and before we know it, life is gone. Life's gone. And we know that everything that's in this world, it is going to pass away. Peter talks about the fact that it's all going to melt with the fervent heat. This world, this life's coming to an end. And because time is short, we have a very limited amount of time to invest in what really matters, and that is eternity. And we waste so much time on things that don't matter in the grand scheme of things. We waste so much time plotting and planning relationships and different things when we could be investing in eternity in the way that we serve our Savior. In verse number 32, Paul says this, but I would have you without carefulness. In other words, without worry. He says, he that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. See, those who are single can commit themselves wholly to serve the Lord. Very little else to hinder them. Okay, if you're single in here, you are the one who decides what it is you do. You are the one who decides what time you get up in the morning, what time you go to bed at night, when you go to work, where you work, what you do with your free time, and all that stuff. You alone are the one who chooses that. Some of you enjoy that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Enjoy the time of life that you're in. You should. Okay? He says, so you have very little else to worry about. I know Lisa's getting ready to go to Tennessee in like 90 days. I saw it this morning online. 90 days. Okay, she didn't have to consult anybody. She didn't have to like decide, okay, is this okay with you? Does it fit in the schedule? Does it fit financially? No. She just decided, hey, you know what? I want to go to Tennessee with my friends. We're going to do it. Fantastic. One of the wonderful many benefits of being single. But also in the areas of service to Jesus, there's nothing to hinder a single person from serving Jesus at all. Got no other considerations to make. That's a wonderful thing. And that's one of the ways and reasons Paul said it is so great to be single. It's better to be single than to be married, because you have nothing to stop you from serving Jesus with everything that is within you. Nothing to stop you from investing everything in your life for eternity. And if that's the place that you find yourself in, I want to encourage you, give Jesus every moment that you can. Okay, stop trying to worry about who you're going to marry or who you're going to date or who whatever. Listen, that's a futile waste of time. You concentrate on serving Jesus, and then the best thing that will happen to you, if God wants you to be married, or if you really want to be married, the best thing you could do is concentrate on Jesus, because what's going to happen is you narrow focus in on serving Jesus. The only person you're going to find that you're going to want to marry is somebody else who's concentrating on serving Jesus. That's the person you want. You want a person who is totally sold out for Jesus. Because we have people in this room that can tell you what a headache the wrong person is. And what a heartache the wrong person is, and the trouble and the abuse and the problems and the stress. And they can tell you far better than I can. So you concentrate solely on just living for Jesus. And then as you're serving Jesus and you happen to notice, you know what? Hey, this person, they're serving Jesus too. That might be a person God's bringing into my life. Instead of trying to make things happen. Man, and there's a lot less complications for serving Jesus. And he says here, one of the great things about being single is you can have that single focus on Jesus, because the lives of those who are married, it gets complicated. Look at verse 33. It says, but he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Okay, so you go from, hey, I'm single, I can just concentrate on serving Jesus. Now you're married, and he's talking about single men or married men here, and he says, hey, if you're married in here, you can't just focus in on serving Jesus. You can't. Even as the pastor of the church, I cannot just focus in on serving Jesus and ignore my wife and ignore my family. If I do that, I won't have them very long. And I've seen some pastors, I've seen some missionaries, I've seen some quote-unquote men of God who did that and lost their family. And what Paul said, told Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy 5:8, if you don't provide for your own, especially for those in your own house, you've denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel. Okay, you're worse than an unbeliever. So as a married man, I can't just concentrate on serving Jesus now. I have my wife to consider. And if God blesses you with children like he has me, I have my daughters to consider. So it's not just I can choose to just serve Jesus and I don't have to think about anything else. No, I have a lot to think about. And this past couple weeks has been a great example of what we're going to talk about today, because as my wife lay in a hospital knocking on death's door, I didn't care about what was happening here at church. I didn't sit down and write sermons. I didn't make phone calls to church people to check on them. I didn't care one bit about what was happening. I sat next to my wife's bed thinking about, is she going to be okay? Praying for God to spare her life. I didn't care about anything else. So when you get married, there's other things to consider. And I have a responsibility to take care of my family, to provide for them in every single way. I have a responsibility to provide for them spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, physically, and all the things that they need. It is my responsibility to do what I can to provide. So there's other things to consider. Now, that doesn't kind of give us a pass, those who are married and have children and whatever else, doesn't give us a pass not to serve Jesus, okay? We're still supposed to serve Jesus. It's just a lot more complicated. There's a lot more things to consider. I love spending time with my wife. I love spending time with my daughters. We love to play together. We love to work together. We love to serve Jesus together. And it's a wonderful thing. But it's a lot more complicated. There's a lot more moving parts and things to consider. And he says, listen, if you're single, you don't have all that. You concentrate on serving Jesus and him alone and invest everything that you can into serving Jesus. And so Paul here talks about married and unmarried men. Now he's going to talk to about married and unmarried women, and beginning in verse number 34. It says, there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So you notice the different focuses that each of those have. That if you're a single lady in here, and every time I say single lady, I can hear that song, right? You heard it too, right? Yeah, all the single ladies, like, sorry, that's sometimes the way my mind just goes off some places. But if you are a single lady in here, okay, you have such a great benefit. You don't have all the distractions that we bring. We bring a lot of distractions. Like, men bring a lot of distractions. I am way worse than my kids as far as time and attention for my wife. The work that she has to go through to help me. Like, I am a huge distraction. Okay, but if you're single, you don't have that distraction. You can just serve Jesus. And you ought to be serving Jesus. And for whatever the season is that God has you single, okay, what maybe it is just a season that God has you single. Every moment of that season of singleness ought to be invested in serving Jesus, ought to be invested in eternity. Because it's such a blessing to be single. Such a great thing. Maybe God does have you as a person that is going to be single for your entire life, and that's what he wants from you. Now, it's not a sin to get married. We've already talked about that. But maybe the best thing for you is to be single. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Some of the most godly, effective women that I know are single. And they just invest their life in other people and serving Jesus and making an impact for our Savior. And what a wonderful thing that that is. And if that's the path that God has for you to walk, then you ought to rejoice in that. And invest every moment that you can. Now, that doesn't give you married ladies a pass. Okay, you ought to be serving Jesus too. I know your husband, he complicates things. Okay, I know your children complicate things. But you have a responsibility to serve Jesus as well. And I think it would be good for all of us to stop and to think about how are we investing our lives and our time in eternity. Because as Paul said, time is short. One of these days, very soon, we're going to be standing face to face with our Savior. Now, if you've not trusted in Jesus, I want to encourage you to put your faith and trust in him. Because if you die without Jesus, you're going to have a very different conversation with Jesus when you see him face to face than I'm going to. But one day soon, we're going to stand before Jesus, and we are going to give an account of our lives. And one of the things we need to be able to do is say, Lord, you've called me to be married, and I spent every moment trying to lead my family, help my wife, she helped me, live and serve Jesus to the best of all of our ability. And I need to be able to say that as a married man. Or you may be single in here and you're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to say, listen, Jesus, you gave me the gift of being single. I didn't have the distractions. I didn't have the other things to take my focus away from serving you. And I invested every moment of my life serving you to the best of my ability. Because we're all going to give an account of that. And so those of you who are single, you have that advantage in service. You don't have the distraction that he talks about. Look at verse 35. He says, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. Okay, so Paul's saying, listen, I want you to benefit from what I'm trying to tell you. But for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord, notice this, without distraction. Without distraction. Go ahead and put that magic eye picture back up there if you can for me. I didn't tell him I was going to do this at the end. So when we think about that picture, okay, we often get distracted with it. We look at all the colors, and we see the different blotches of whatever, and we start to look, and maybe we see like poppy flowers in there. Yes, I know what poppy flowers are. And we start to see these different shapes and patterns and whatever else, and we get distracted. We get distracted, so we don't really see the mermaid riding the unicorn. Or whatever it is, I don't know. I can't see it. I'm too distracted. Okay, but we need to stop focusing on the wrong thing. If you're married in here and you're focused in on your spouse making you happy and completing you and whatever else, you're focused on the wrong thing. You need to be focusing in on Jesus. And how can you as a married person serve Jesus to the best of your ability? That's what you need to be doing. That's what I need to be doing. Those of you who are single, and God has blessed you right now with being single, listen, stop focusing in on trying to find this person, that person to complete you or make you happy. You don't need a romantic relationship to make you happy. We all need good, godly friendships, good, godly relationships. And every single one of us were designed for those things. But you don't need a romantic relationship to complete you. So stop trying to focus in on all that. You just focus in on serving Jesus to the best of your ability with where you are now. As Paul said, without distraction. Stop focusing in on the wrong thing. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 7. Paul says this, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them that they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. We are to have a committed service. And I want to encourage you, as I've challenged myself, to serve Jesus with your life this week to the best of your ability.